Good morning, my name is Gerald. Gerald Moore.
Okay. Welcome, thank you. Let's understand, I think, where the dictation on the one presentation in the package for the implementation instead of the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. So, at least there with us this morning. I'm going to just hand over to the HOD and I'm sorry.
Chairperson, I would like them to then just emphasize, and I'm referring to the slides that's a bit different and that's reflected on, if I can just give you the page number, starting on, they call it the pro- program 1, and then they start with a ministry on page 45. You see there they capture the 2-3 quarters. It seems like unfortunately we will have to engage with the 3 quarters as well to an extent, because that's part of our agenda, and I'm sure you would like to sign off on that as well. But I would like them to emphasize the issues where they did not achieve the 100%. And that's actually starting on page 45, because then they tackle the ministry for the 3 quarters. Let me call it program 1 administration, third quarter program 1, and then program 1 fourth quarter. And maybe we can just stop with those ones that's not 100% been achieved, and then they unpack that, and that we immediately ask questions and dispose of that if that's possible.
There's a proposal. That's quite a summary of that. Highlight the critical points out of the fourth quarter to bring it to the fourth quarter.
Chair, we can do that. I think that if the committee is okay, we'll start with the fourth quarter and then go on to the item that is the aggregated picture. Alright? And then I think if there is little questions in the committee, so I'll have to probe those questions, because I think that from quarter to quarter there will be underperformance in one quarter, overperformance in another, then we will have them bring out at the end of the year. So, if you're comfortable with part of the quarter 4, then we'll go to the Adam performance, and then we can deal with the questions. Is that all right?
And that is satisfied. Carlos.
This is not clear, Mr. Chair. Are you going to start with the fourth quarter presentation, or are you just going to do the presentation for the whole year? Because all the information, second, third, and fourth, is exactly what I just don't want to sit here with an hour going through presentations that we have the information in front of me.
That's why the suggestion is the fourth quarter. Am I available for 3 minutes?
Yeah, no, of course, Chair. It's a waste of time to go through the quarter. My question would just be, why didn't we do it at the end of those specific quarters? Because that's our fiduciary's duty. Every end of quarter to go through these reports. There's important things that we need to look at. And of course, now the excuse will be, if we didn't do it in that quarter, but in the third, we finished it in the fourth. But what was the reason at the time? That was important. The other thing that I don't think we would believe is the absolute disregard for the waste of paper. If you look, we've been given this report, there's another one on the table, and there's another one coming. These things don't happen for free, Chair. It's money wasted. It's paper wasted. It's ink wasted. So when we get to the end of the year and ask for goods and services, and they talk about advertising, there's a simple explanation given. But it's never said, can you remember all the double, triple copies that we had to make of reports unnecessarily? Why are we given a copy in our offices? We get here, then there's another one here. Who is this for? I just don't understand this waste of money and waste of paper every time. And then lastly, Jay, if I may, was the fact that the gambling board has a fact to catch taken into account when we decided who should go first.
I can't answer that question. It's the first time that I hear about tonight. I don't see if it's a piece now saying anything.
I read it outside and I thought that
it's not to my attention. So.
Okay, sorry, so you didn't know, but I'm just saying, Treasury is here. The normal thing is that gambling board goes first because they need to go so they can sit here all the time. It's just normal that they go first.
If they have a crisis, they can talk to us. If they're in prison, if they haven't started here, they can talk to us. But it's the first time that I hear about it. So.
Okay.
Can we proceed? So we will do the fourth quarter, and then Mr. Caucus of the other formation and reports.
Chair, before we even get to it, what is this and what is its purpose?
Presented to us, the presenters can talk to us. But they can talk us through.
This is God to us as a committee. What kind of oversight can I have over the paper like this?
Now we've seen it, let's start and then we'll get to the next thing.
I'm going to ask to start with the quarter four outcome from a financial perspective, and I'm going to direct the slide in your feedback. And then we will also deal with the fourth quarter non-financial performance, Chair, and that will be on slide 39. But we'll start with 16 and we'll just move with the clip.
There's a column there called vitamins. If you can just go back to your home program. Those vitamins include movement for the whole year. Now, what in future we have asked Treasury to do at another meeting is to explain to us when exactly you made those changes in vitamins and why you made them. Know what the reason was for that vitamin. We don't know when it was done. We also don't know whether it was done at your adjustment budget or it was done before adjustment. We also don't know whether it was done after adjustment. So please, somehow, if we can get that explanation going forward.
I have a question, but I don't speak to that only for myself now. And also, at the end of our meeting, do a resolution to the question what you will want. But in terms of your then response to that, I don't have to go now. I'll ask it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Morning again. Vitamins are actually done right at the end after the expenditure is already taken place. Basically, certainly aligning to ensure that there are no over expenditure. That is why you will note right at the bottom in terms of total the zero effect.
That explanation, I don't accept that explanation. Simply because we know and we've been told and explained how vitamins happen, when they happen, why they happen. Clearly, as you just said now, Chairperson, they obviously won't have that information here right now. I would like that explanation going forward in the next meeting.
How come that you will deal with that afterwards? And to, I want to ask that information. But I think what I've heard is, because we're dealing with the end of the financial year, I think I understand what you're saying, Member Chairman, but we will deal with it afterwards. We just want to make sure that. The question I would like to ask you basically is the fact that there is zero I'm not too sure why there is zero. There's amount. The point I wanted to make is that there was amount that was shifted.
go through the programs, we can be aware that they must reflect on the violence. So I'm sure that can be a help.
Thank you. Over to you, Asia.
When they happen, why they happen, and where they need to be.
July 16th, Chairperson. They started off with a budget of 308 million rand. They adjusted it to 288. They now 278. So they actually couldn't spend 30 million rand this year. I would like to understand why they over budgeted to the extent of 30 million or what transpired. I know part of it was already adjusted, but still, it's a budgeting process that we need to understand. And still, after the adjustment budget, they could not spend the full amount of money allocated to them. So I think we need a proper explanation on that. Apart from the bottom of the Chairperson, we also see some shifting that took place within programs. And I believe the violence is within different programs and the shifting that took place there. But may I ask the Office of the Minister, we see there's an outcome of 93%, and to understand why the 433 was not spent, 1,000 was not spent, and what was the reason and how that could be rectified. Then also management services that we see is 93%, 93.6%, with the 1.7 million not being spent. Chairperson, we do pick up program support a couple of times, and maybe it's good to look at program 2 on slide 18, and then ask what's happening in terms of the program support, because we see a write-up at the top there, program support 90.6, 90.6, and then again 90% in the next one. And if you can just unpack for us what's happening around that. Just on the total sustainable resource management, we see an understanding of 3.8 million, and maybe it's also it's important to understand why in this specific one we see this big understanding. Asset management, Chairperson, again I did refer to program support there. I also want to link supporting and interlinking financial systems. We see a spending of 94% there, and just to understand what is the reason for that amount of 1.4 not being spent. Program 5, accounting services. Maybe you could just explain the accounting services and the increase in provincial government accounting and compliance. What was the reason for the increase? I see it slightly, we're still under 100%, but there's been some money moved to that one. But the program support is still the same as we saw in the other programs. But I think we need to get an overall assessment. Of course, we will do that in the annual report. But it's also important that we get an understanding now what went wrong.
Thank you. Just on that first question of the member, we are going back on the bearings come to the HUDI one to finish that point out. Get COVID done.
We were about a year ago in relation to our budget. I mean, Chair, we were
under, well, it starts with the provincial picture. Chief, we as a province, we were generally under a lot of pressure to get our budget into a sustainable process. This is something that we discussed previously at the committee. What we were challenged with was making decisions around which post to fall. And the committee will remember about a year ago, we explained to the committee how we planned to go through that process, and we sat together as a management team to identify the priority posts within our department. Obviously, what we do not want is a situation where we're going to identify posts that are not priority. We fill those posts, but we can't sustain funding over the interim. And at the time, we had to rework our budgets as a provincial department as well. We were also faced with the same dilemma that all other departments had to go through, and that was the main thing, to keep the compensation budget under control. So, Chair, our first priority, given that the compensation budget has a pull-through effect, we cannot just disengage compensation monies. Our immediate priority was to get the approved post list in finalized, which we did. Our immediate priority was to get the approved post list finalized, which we did. Okay. Chair, then parallel to that, we also had a massive problem with regard to, given the stability of the compensation budget, we had a number of commitments with interest as a result of bursary obligations. Okay. And we needed to get those commitments finalized. Obviously, there's some variation that kicks in terms of cost level that we had to deal with at that point in time, which we managed to conclude. And then second to that was the issue around the fact that we had about 40 people that we needed to place, but we didn't have funding for all of them over the FTDF chain. Okay. So there may have been funding in the initial part of the year, but not necessarily over the FTDF, which presented us with a sustainability challenge. And then on top of that, at least about a third of those people, about 10 of those applicants that we had originally planned to get into the system, didn't take up the bursary or the placement within the provincial system. How we planned to deal with that share was the adjustment budget, because we took all that into account to make sure our adjustment budget and the compensation budget was under control. And we found it was the most responsible approach, because as I said, the one thing you don't want is you commit to compensation budget, then you want to forward out there. So that was our first main priority. So that reflects the challenge that Member Ace and Member Beerman were focused on in terms of what happened between the main budget and the adjustment budget. So the part that we didn't get under control yet, and I'm putting it on the table because it is a balance, is that we implemented austerity measures, cost containment, etc., with a view to try and get our public services budget also under more efficient budgetary control. Unfortunately, the what you see now is the 10.4 million is the net effect of that, as well as, Chair, I'm not going to say that there is also underspending in this thing. I'm not going to shy away from this because it is real. There is some underspending in that. And the underspending is largely the residual compensation for employees. I mean, that's basically normal attrition. I think it's about 1.1 million. So of that 10.4 million, it's about 1.2 million for compensation. Then there was a portion for training and development, which we budgeted. So that's about a million rand that contributed to the underspending. And then there were bursaries that were not taken up. And the proportion of bursaries that contributed to that underspending was about a half a million. And Chair, then the other portions of that underspending is spread over things like venues and facilities. Again, we've managed to bring the costs down, but not necessarily realign the budget. And then things like consumable, stationary, printing, order costs. That makes up the bulk of the underspending on a high level based on the 10.4 million. So, Chair, when we enter the DEPA program, underperformance or underspending, or not underperformance, underspending, then we can go into how that pans out into the program level underspending. But that's it on a high level.
Thank you, actually. I mean, that's what was for the 10th million, but the initial 308 went to 288. Can you just give some indication on that 20 or 1 million?
Chair, if I may, that's the point that I mentioned, where we needed to get the market inflation budget under control. So a big portion of that was to get the post realigned, so the group posters and the budget aligned to that, which we're comfortable with that figure in terms of comp inflation, because we can afford over the MTF. And then, as I said, it's also the interns' money. I think there was a question to the program board. There were different questions under the program, so I'm just going to ask the program head to respond.
Second chair, just on the under expenditure in the ministry, one of our staff members, our registry clerk, was promoted to a different component provincial treasury, and she departed on the 1st of October, and we only managed to fill that position towards March of this year. The position is filled now, but that accounts for more than $100,000 on the underspending on the personnel side. On the on the goods and services side, we benefited to a large degree from our collaboration with the communications component in .P. Much of the marketing and advertising stuff were picked up by them, and we're obviously grateful for that, but of course some under expenditure in that regard. And then we, because the minister is responsible for international relations, we as a rule predict the budget for at least 2 international visits from the ministry per annum, and in this year there was only 1, partly due to the minister also implementing cost containment and refused 1 or 2 opportunities. And we
anniversary, and sometimes they take up the bursary, or we budget for the bursary for the current bursary holders, and sometimes it's 1, 2, 3, 4 years bursary, and then they close our budget, and we don't pay for the budget. And this is for the reason we also didn't anticipate earlier in the year what is the update going to be on the budget as well, and the deferment for people's second later grades and need to redo the budget.
Do you know beforehand which training Doc P will pay for? And if you do, why are you budgeting for it?
Yeah, sometimes we don't know because it's also training that they offer, because they see, for example, within the province, if there's an issue, for example, with one training evaluation, and they will get somebody to be prepared for the training on that training evaluation. So sometimes it's just difficult, and like you say, they do. But unfortunately, we will need to see how we're going to go about this, because we need assistance of the legislation. We need to budget 1% for our compensation.
I understand that explanation, but do you see what it does to your budget?
Yeah.
It reflects badly. You may have thought that's what you're going to spend, and one is not unappreciative of what Dr. is doing in terms of training, but it doesn't look good on your figures and your budget.
Chairman,
that
we've taken a it's something that we discussed with the group committee, and it's that we have the budget for 1 year, but I have to admit that we're not going to pay for it. In terms of looking at the efficiency
we've communicated at a previous meeting that as far as the local government supplies and management is concerned, we've adopted the district approach, which means that our staff were travelling much less than in the past. So there was overall about 300,000 and saving on SAP and trading both on provincial supplies and in the local government supply chain. Then of course the issue of training and development, and you'll see it's an initiative program that we basically underspent. Anna Maria indicated the issue of CSC, but also from the local government side, we've got a contract. In fact, all of the units with SBLMs that I've referred to, where we train the officials in municipalities. And it also sometimes happens that we actually include our own officials in that training as well, which is already budgeted on that particular contract. And then, of course, there was also quite a bit of saving through efficiencies on venues and facilities. We also provide training to provincial departments and sometimes even national departments on the transversal systems. So also there was quite a bit of saving. So I think the bulk of the underspend in the unit was as a result of efficiencies, the better management of not only our service delivery requirements like the district of drugs, but also as far as the venues and facilities are concerned.
Member, any follow-up just on your first
thank you, Chairperson. Was this decision taken in terms of the cloud system? And is this now a decision that's been taken across provincial government? And is that the better way to go? I would like to get your technical comment on that in terms of managing local government, managing transversely provincial government. Because there's now a decision being taken for you by most probably the previous department, you know, you can help me with that decision. I just get the impression that they paid for it as well, or they're going to pay for it. So what I'm picking up is there's a gradual fiscal dumping from the side of the Premier onto Treasury, so their books will look good. So I think we will also have to look at their books eventually to see, because they already paid for communication as the one. They start to pay for training, and I do get the impression they're causing some of your problems. But I would like to understand the technical part to your server, because there must be a very good reason for getting that server, and who are you contracting with? And normally it's Treasury doing these things, because I mean, you must keep the time control over what's happening there. I'm worried that the department that is actually accounting you start doing things like this. It's almost like the tails wagging the dog here. And you must be careful.
No,
you must be careful. You're losing Treasury, you're losing your status.
And just a comment.
Bro.
But I think that it comes back to the initial statement that HOD made about the austerity measures.
Program.
Saying how they are followed that, how they are followed through that. But I mean, we're getting answers, so.
Member 8, we've got a provincial IT forum which consists of various departments, so it's not only the department of Premier that's making the decision. And I mean, that was a decision after research was done, and it was also discussed also with all the IT heads within the different departments to move rather to a cloud-based platform, because most of the corpus also and other departments moved to the cloud space. So I think that was the decision taken from a professional perspective. As far as the server is concerned, and your request in terms of whether they're paying for the service, I think they're paying up to a certain amount. So this server was for additional space that we needed, the server which was not covered within that particular budget. But they also at that point in time, after the decision was taken to go cloud, is that they will also not service all the maintenance and those requirements, because there's also, of course, as far as that is concerned. Mm-hmm. And also taking into account that although the Treasury is responsible for the transversal systems, the maintenance and the technical part of that, we've got the arrangement with GEI that they do it on behalf of the Treasury. So as Charter transversal systems are concerned, it's a partisan between Treasury and a partner of a friend from CI, part of the partner of the trade.
Chairman, anything to add for the record? I mean, we were consulted with the cloud computing policy issue for put on the table, and we were happy because it also allowed us to cross platform between our own virtual space and that of the system. Obviously, it's still a work in progress because system changes need to happen on both sides, but it is a step in the right direction. So, if there's no other questions, I can very much for it.
Thank you, Chair Members. The program for the total underspend is about 1.6 from the original budget. For most of the year, there were three key posts that was vacant. It was the CD post that was vacant for about 6 months, a director post that was vacant for a year, and then a deputy director post that was vacant for about 6 months. But all of these posts had been filled with acting capacities. In terms of the savings that happened, most of the savings was around catering, travel and subsistence and venues, because these all three work together. When we engage with the municipalities, we try to get free venues, and then we would have arrangements with municipalities to co-sponsor some of the catering. And because we had less engagements in the year, for expediency and for district engagements, we've also traveled less during the year. The rest of the what is making up the saving is we had a saving of about 200,000 in audit fees, and then for the training that we've arranged as provincial treasury, we received much more cheaper quotes this year than we had in prior years, so our training cost is less. Circulars has been issued, so as soon as the cost containment circulars has been issued, it takes time for it to be implemented. So with our time engagements, which is the major engagement that we have with municipalities that happens in the second, in the last quarter of the financial year, and we still have to budget because we don't know ultimately what the municipality is coming to the party for. So a lot of the engagements that we have are with outside people, or where we get venues, we negotiate around the time of getting this venue, so you cannot at the beginning of the year already indicate what it's going to be, and we normally look at what did it cost us initially to budget for the fourth year.
Okay, I think that the flip side to that is that if we anticipate X number of municipalities will provide us with three venues and they don't come to party for whatever reason, we present with them, that will be opposite challenge to get party, that's our expenditure. So, in a way, this is it's a good problem to have. We have to save money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then to understand what informed your borrowers, because only in one case you're over 100%. So was your borrowers informed by its balance of programs out in the all of like 95% So one will drop to 80 or 90%, and another one might be 99%. So you will fairly look okay. Because I couldn't hear what's informing your environments, and I couldn't see it really going over 100%. So you had to do something quicker, except for the 100.1% there. So was it really to like make a good move?
Chair, that's why it's important to know when these variables happen. Did it happen before the adjustment budget or after the adjustment budget? And with this
know if that column wasn't there.
Chairman, we will provide that. We indicated that we were on. We'd rather just go and check all our facts and provide you with that information. If we can, we're going to move on to slide 39, which is basically the fourth quarter non-financial outcomes. And then, Chair, when we conclude with the fourth quarter non-financial outcomes, then I'd like to make a couple of comments on the yesterday's report.
Is very clear. We get to the one that did not perform, and that's on page 51, part of the program one, and then you can ask the question, one evaluation or report not finalized.
Is the point we want to make, if you don't speak to anything else that was on there, then you want to start to move to 47. Unless you want to say something on that point. If not, then you can move to 47.
Officer, who are not even just answered, this is a provider, what is the reason for what?
have no underperformance for the fourth quarter.
That's
happened about 2 weeks ago. So that's the, just so that the committee understands why there's 50, but on our final annual report it'll be 29.
So actually just a partial report.
Yes, that's partial, actually 29 of the 50. That's great, thank you. That's essentially the two big variances in terms of partial achievements, and then the rest of the targets were overachieved. And there were some that were overachieved, obviously, because we put the other thing with our effect on the overachievement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, HOD and your official, for the response to the questions and members.
I mean, I think that we inadvertently submitted the DTM EQPR printout. I think the chair commented on one that we want to intervene.
We want
that,
but we want to read it.
What do you mean? We're not going to get away with it.
No.
Okay. It's printed out for the system, but we'll try to get it in a more digital format.
It's your class system.
You're looking for us, don't you? Walker, no more.
Any comment on it? That's our last. Any comments from their side? Anything you want to tell us, that we should know?
Maybe from my side, I just want to say the same information as in the presentation is exactly the same thing that we need to QPR. So, we extract the information from the QPR also on the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm going to get this document back in a legible format.
Thank you.
introduction.
Alvin Matthews, also
supporter. And Gary Sierra, Chief Financial Officer.
Juma Evans, also on the board.
Yvonne Skipper, Legal Services.
Kevin Lassant, Patenting.
William Barnes, Human Resources.
But then I'm there after the cut policy.
Thank you and welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come present to us the quarterly performance reports, members. I want to know from your side how are you going to ask them to manage, present to us,
I would like to ask if we can do this thing. I see the item that second, third and fourth on the same spot they have the fourth at the end of them. When we can start with the financials as on the 31st of March, but I like it what the way it's supposed to be, if I quickly see it here, is they're supposed to be at the fourth quarter on its own, and then because then we can assess the fourth quarter, and then they give us the total one for the year. And I think it's important they can go through that, and then we go through the performance indicators.
Can we please ask them to in future report adjustments in terms of environment shift, when and how and why? I understand they didn't know that before, but going forward, can we then also get that adjustment column explained at the little meeting? When, how, why? Please, thank you.
Thank you for the comments. We will then proceed and over to the continuation board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the ISIS question on slide 3, we did provide information in terms of 44 and then on slide 5, I can just go to the year to date. So for 44, the budget for the agency for Q4 was 12 million, and then we made adjustments to the budget to the amount of 3.8 million, and then we have adjusted budget 8 million, and so the board overspent on each budget. But can I just quickly explain what happened? The budget was approved, the adjustment budget was approved in quarter 4, so the only time when we could adjust the budget was in Q4, but it's only timing differences. For example, if you take for information technology to the adjustment of 2.8 million, it was actually budgeted in quarter 1. So therefore it seems in Q4 that we overspent on all the programs, but it's just because of a timing difference as to when the budget was approved versus when the adjustment was presented. Chief, we can now proceed. Member 8, is that fine? Can I proceed to 5, Chief? Year to date, the board's total expenditure budget for the year was 58 million. We adjusted budget 3.8, so our adjusted budget was 54 million, of which we spent 52, and then we have a underspendage of 2 million. In terms of the board itself, the board overspent on its budget of 240,000. That is mainly due to board fees, because it was at additional meetings, committee meetings and board meetings to attend various matters, and also the board attended all the industry conferences for the year under review. The executive budget was underspent by 380,000. That is terms of legal fees and board awareness fees. Financial action is in line with the budget, 182. In terms of licensing, licensing overspent by 181,000, and that is due in terms of a board resolution to remunerate study the HACM licensing in terms of additional functions of when the licensing department was absorbed into the licensing department. It's still with the minister's board approval, but we made provision due to the fact that the board approved it. Then gambling and compliance 199 is in line, and then for
gambling improvement under 1994.
It's in line with the budget. Yeah. But it's mostly in terms of talent and subsistence, and there was only one vacancy for a law enforcement officer. Yeah. Should I proceed to the non-financial?
Spending of 240,000. So you can understand what's happening there. The original budget was 2.045 million. That was, and then you will see the adjusted budget and the year-to-date expenditure. Jefferson, I don't understand this, and you actually approved this. The board knowing very well that they have a budget. They approved their own budget, and now they're going over budget with more than, what is it, 10%, 240,000. Yeah, there was more board meetings. Just to understand, was it really necessary, the board meetings? And we also hear that they attended all industry meetings or something like that. Maybe you can unpack that as well. Do we have any board members here, Chairperson? Maybe you can ask why not. She's just here for treasury.
I'll
try and pull her in. So that's the first one, that's the board chair person. Just unpack each of them, the underspending in the next one. There was already an adjustment that we see there of 300,000, and then additional to that. We see that amount, and I think you will have to speak to the approved budget of 58 million, and then adjusted budget of 54 million, that 4 million rand that you could not spend when you got to the adjustments, and then of course another 1.9, let's say 2 million that you couldn't spend, and we always get the impression the board crying that they don't get enough money and you know they're underspent and there's pressure on staff and there's always pressures, but I mean you can't spend your money. That's a concern, Chairperson. Exactly the same with administration and finance, the underspending there. The licensing, I didn't follow that argument around licensing, Chairperson. So maybe we can just repeat that, or maybe the line manager can just unpack that 181,000 that was overspent, although there was no adjustments made at the time, and did you not foresee that there's going to be overspending. Then the next one, 200,000 or 199, information technology, Chairperson, again we're back with that one. You will see there was an original budget of 9 million. Then they adjusted this with almost 3 million rand, meaning they're not spending them. Then there came another adjustment of 1.6, if I can call it that, meaning also not spent. So out of a total budget of the beginning of the financial year of 9 million, only half of that, 4.5 million, they could spend. And that's a concern, again, we need to unpack that. I thought there was major upgrading in terms of IT and issues around that. So yes, please, can we unpack that each of these? Thank you.
Also, in your variance explanation, you made the comment that it's in line with the budget. Can you just really explain some of what you mean in that?
To this
with a conference somewhere.
Why? Where was it going to come from? And what's the reason that you're not going to get it? so that we also understand what you're saying. This person out there doesn't mean anything to me. Really.
Thank you, sir. The LPM operator fee was a fee that had been received every year, and that was for this financial year was 7 million rand. As far as we understand, it was a fee that was due to always get a fee a year. When the receiver joined and she rechecked, this fee was only due for the expired period, and it would expire, and so in this financial year, then, that fee is no longer around. Our officials have always put that the fee would always be given, the submitter would always be going, but for some reason, that tricky that it would only be a limited period. And that's the reason for the fact that we no longer in the fee. The current that went to trade and to legal services at the province, and they're currently declared, and we may even get that money back subsequently, but at this point in time, we wouldn't get it.
In terms of the fees, involved legislation, was it just give us a bit of background so one might understand why the fee is expiring.
When did this all happen? Because when we looked at your budget in your APP, it was still 58 million rand. And I mean, we were under the impression it's going to be 58 million rand. Now, when did this all happen in the process? Because this budget was signed by, I'm sure, the Minister as well, the EDC. Yes, this was signed by him as well, 58 million men. So just give us a timeline and then what happened to us.
Over here.
Adding to that, is this 7 million that now Ms. Siga discovered to have expired, was it included in that state? Because then that will answer the question, when did you discover? You know?
I think I remember A saying at the beginning of the financial year was there. Yeah, and something happened after that, that's what we'd like to know. I think that's what member Carter asked, was there any regulations or rules that indicated that you know beforehand it must be there.
Thanks, sir. It's actually statutory income, so it's by the Act, by the few. But except that the right set by the Act increases every year, so this year it will be 7 million rand. At the time of formulating the budget, we expected this to come in. I think the receiver joined us in February and in the financial year, which he reviewed items and found that this money had actually expired. So right up until the budget into the financial year, we had expected that this money was to be due to us. It was only after that. That's why income 8 million rand is still in there. The money. It's only after that we found that expectations that this is a national duty at the end of the time period, and therefore we do not receive the money.
Anybody
call on anybody? If you don't mind, just take a step back. So the 7 million was required in terms of the law, regulation, policy regulation, 1998, that's a better word, and it was valid years expiring on the 1st of January 2018. Can you just point us just to that sort of guideline? So I'm trying to understand when, why, and how did it happen. Because it wasn't picked up by the companies, it was picked up internally by their own staff. I'm just trying to get a better understanding and understanding.
Good. You're saying it's part of a statutory arrangement, it's an act and all of that. So if it's a statutory arrangement and it's an act and all of that, then you should have received it, then you should have received it. But now you haven't. So where is the fall again? Same, we're all on the same page here.
Thank you.
So this is about the action, it's the action.
Thank you, Chair. In Schedule 2 to the Act, both the casino operator fees as well as the loot operator fees is listed as being limited to a period of 10 years. And that period, post our investigation, would have expired in 2014. So that is dependent on the date when the first license was issued, and then it would then count consecutively for 10 years as and when these fees are paid. And when the board discovered this, we then obtained legal advice on an urgent basis also wrote to provincial treasury, I think within the same month, to then get the process going in terms of having the legislation amended, because these are intended to be operator fees that ought to be payable for as long as the operator license subsists. And that process then commenced. The legislation has now been published for public comment, and it is still in progress. Provincial Treasury published it for public comment, and so the operators will have an opportunity to comment on that, and then we will see what the net result will be. The proposed amendment is also to then delete the 10-year period retrospectively, such that those fees would have been made payable in the intermediate period until the amendment was published, because it is a levy imposed as a statutory fee.
So this is a question, so the amendment will not have a time track now. It's been ongoing.
Responsible,
given he's responsible.
Sure.
Yeah, I particularly want to know about the Act and the public and literally in terms of picking it up when or not picking it up. Let me ask Treasury to respond on that one and then we'll get to one other.
For Treasury to tell us where the legislation is, because we haven't received anything.
We received a stack of government yesterday, but I'm just saying that we don't know what is in the pipeline and the process, but Treasury can bring that.
The provincial treasury, let's just say that the board actually is, as Ms. Siwa has indicated, were the ones who actually identified these discrepancies, and the industry was still paying actually. Up to now, they have actually been paying. But the mere fact that there has been an expiry meant that that those monies could need to be paid back at some point in case, in terms of the legislation. Now, what Treasury and the board have subsequently done, as the board has indicated, is to actually go to the legislation to amend. Legal opinion has been sought on the retrospectivity of the licensing. It may actually be possible to actually amend retrospectively. So that is actually being tested in terms of the comments that were sought. The expiry of the comments is actually 31 July. So it is still actually in the public domain for the different stakeholders, the public and the industry, to actually comment on this matter.
Is the motion? Is the motivation for wanting to make this legislation retrospective to avoid having to pay back the money that the LPM, is it LPM of Britain, have paid that you shouldn't have been receiving? You're still getting money from them and you shouldn't be. So now that's why you want to make it retrospective.
Yes, the idea of retrospective is actually to cover those monies that were actually paid to, that have been received, but were not true in terms of the licensing condition.
So my next question to you, does the industry know that they have paid you money that they should not have?
I'm sure somewhere, because
I want to ask when did it actually lapse? Was it in 2014? Because what I picked up here is not in this financial year only. I was only picked up now, but in 3-4 years down the line. Can we get an understanding of what actually happened in each of the financial years and what was the amount in each of the years? Are they still paying now as we speak? And I know in the previous years the board had received the money. Did the board actually receive the money this financial year? So let's just take it back and understand fully. If I understand it 2014 correctly, just put it in full perspective for us, please.
Chair, this is a very complex issue. Even just the question on the retrospectivity, we had to sit with council and just try and make sense in terms of the constitutional principles and the issues of enrichment and, you know, so Chair, I would actually like to request that we actually submit a formal report on this issue. There's also the sensitivity around the fact that there may be litigation arising from this. You know, one statement can be taken out of context if it is put in the public domain. You know, just in terms of the vested interest and the financial implications. So there's a real possibility that there may be litigation arising from this, Chair, but we have obtained legal counsel and we do comfort in the legal counsel that was obtained, but we do agree that an explanation must be done to this committee and we would like to make it make sense as to what happened factually and the fact that the board acted in all honesty in rectifying the situation and what happened post then. And, you know, and include the correspondence that was sent to the two operators in terms of the board's good faith, etc. Member,
I just want to know, 2, 3 financiers or 4, what is it, and how long? What is that they're talking about?
The fees expired in 2014, so they have been paying it for a period of 3 years, and that amount is 17.6 million. In terms of the current year, the board did not invoice that, because when we discovered this, we couldn't now go tell the LPN operators still to pay this whilst we know that it expired in 2014, but the intention, I don't think, was ever there for the 10-year limitation at 50%.
I'm sure we will, going forward, be updated and given the information going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No act that's governing you, but section to that, just to understand, you say it's out there in the public domain now, so it's for public consumption. I think it's important that prior to us getting the legislation on the table, we also understand on the draft, like a board that's out there now, so we can almost start to understand, because there's normally a memorandum attached to it to say what is this about. If we can start getting that, and just to understand then, what is your timeline? You know, the term of this parliament is running out, committees are getting very busy, you in a major problem. Somehow, when this committee gets to the point where we go into public hearings, we're going to ask the same questions, but we will also need legal opinions and things like that. So what I'm saying is, I'm worried that we're not setting the timelines and the path. If we need to remedy this, and that this is actually a very big shock for me to hear it today, and you were supposed to really, if you're really honest with this committee, you were supposed to tell us this when you realized this, but you did not. You did not take this committee into confidence. But now you are going to ask this committee to rush this legislation through. Yes, that's exactly what you're going to do. But there was no trust between yourself and this committee. We had to pull it out of you. That we don't even have him with him. That's really unfair, yeah. Chairperson.
And I put it now, just can I just ask in terms of the advert or what time last, are we talking about your mind in terms of time frames, what is your expectations?
The original advert was to expire 31. May, and then the industry, role players, and the public, if I may put it that way, have actually asked for the comment period to be extended so that they can actually give considered a representation in terms of the act. Once the comments are received from public, they will be collated, they will be considered, collated, and included in those that require inclusion into the draft considered as such. Then we'll actually then commence with the legislative process that we said before your draft.
Yes,
it expressly refers to 10 years. That is amount of the fees, and that that will increase annually at the rate of debts due to the state. But we will in the formal report also outline exactly what the stipulation is, but it is in Schedule 2 to the Act.
But you were just helping the team to save the money. so please let's understand then what services were not rendered because of you had to take the serious steps, and then I need to still get a full understanding of that licensing one from the line.
Thank you,
Chair.
Yes, it tells us also to the savings that's required within the environment, but also in terms of all the other stuff that I required was done, was mostly for the automation component that has other ancillary components that's required to within the device, but I don't have to go to
the item number. We also have a get another charge at the end of the report, and so we'll come up again. Yeah, they will give, they will provide that on any members, can we close this? Any other questions? Can we close on the session? Members?
Chair, just to summarize on slide 10, for the year under review, the board has 17 performance indicators, of which is achieved 16, and we had one partially achieved indicator, and that pertains to the percentage of performance reviews completed on a timely basis, and Mr. Bowers can just speak as to why the board did not achieve 100% in that element.
Thank you, Chair. The board prepared an online performance request and to align itself with the Provincial Governance of 1831 March performance period. We were feeling previously from August to July, so in order to align ourselves, we could only end of the 31st of March and then do our credits this year in April. So we were out by a month to comply with the new reporting period for performance appraisals, and then also to do it twice a year as opposed to once a year. So just align with the new system and the board resolution to align with the provinces before you create. Thank you. Any questions, members? Any further questions? Cover.
And then, Mr. I think that we should provide a Thank you.